As the choir has sung of God being over all, our first passage from the book of Hebrews reminded us that we have an eternal priest who is serving in heaven on our behalf, serving according to the order of Melchizedek. And I too have a difficult name in my reading. And all of us want to name our children after these difficult names. You can just see them. The oldest is Melchizedek, then there's Zebedee, then there's Nicodemus, and on and on and on. These names that just don't roll easily off our tongues. We turn to our gospel reading of Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. And in this month of October, we have been steadily moving our way through the 10th chapter of Mark. Today, it is the disciples, James and John, who want positions of power. And let's listen for Jesus' answer. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, see, there's that name for you, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Jesus said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, positions of power, of honor, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized by the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left, positions of power, honor, it is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not to be so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must become your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Saying yes is never easy. I focus on the saying yes that when we answer the call of Jesus, when he says, "Follow me and take up your cross and follow me," our saying yes comes with a cost. Our saying yes to follow Jesus and yes to taking up our cross means that we leave behind many other choices. We live in a different way. Saying yes is never easy. During the Revolutionary War, a man in civilian clothing rode up on horseback to a group of soldiers repairing a small defensive barrier. Their leader there was ordering about, shouting instructions, saying, "Build it up here. Quick, get those rocks over there," making no attempt to help the soldiers whatsoever. When he was asked by the rider who had happened by, the one in civilian clothing, why he was ordering but not helping, the man answered, "Sir, I'm nothing but a corporal." The stranger apologized, dismounted, and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. As the job was finished of shoring up that defensive barrier, the stranger who came to them turned and said to the corporal, "Corporal, next time you have a job like this and do not help your men enough to do it, go to your commander-in-chief and ask him to contact me, and I will come to help you again." And with that, General George Washington, the future president of the United States, got back on his horse and rode off. This kind of leadership, where General George Washington comes to be among a group of soldiers and dismounts and helps them do the job that they are doing is a different kind of leadership than the leadership we often see these days. The corporate kind of leadership we often see these days is a leader who simply spouts instructions, gives orders for how much production to meet, how to do the job, and ordering folks to get there early and work later for no extra pay. Sometimes those corporate CEOs come in as a merger, or if not, a hostile takeover, and taking over a functioning company and strip it of its life and its resources, and sometimes even pilfer its savings for retirement of its long-time workers. And after they have dismantled that functioning company, sell it off at a bargain basement price and walk away with all the profits. We are aware of that type of leadership. But what of the leadership that steps in, works beside, and what gains or what losses are shared by the leadership? That's the style of leadership that Jesus is asking us to step into. For James and John, these sons of Zebedee, they've traveled with Jesus for 3 years, and still they want to assume positions of authority and power. They want to ask Jesus to do whatever they want him to do. That's a lot of confidence. I would never ask Debbie, "Can I sit at the organ and play instead of you?" Disaster. Behind me are drums. I was asked earlier before the worship service started, what's covered under the sheet back there? And I said, "Drums. And I'd be willing to play them for you, but my rhythm is a little out of sync with what you might call rhythm." Yes, it is a beat of sorts, but often a misbeat. James and John are asking Jesus if they can sit in seats of power to his left and to his right and wield some of the same power that he wields. And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking." When asked, "Are you able?" they say, "Oh, yes, we can do that. We can do that." And Jesus hits them between the eyes with a plain fact that in the way in which Jesus' life ended, he was crucified by the hands of others. He said to James and John, "You too will have your lives end at the hands of others." It was many years following the crucifixion, but in the same way, they too became martyrs. They died for their faith, and their only crime, they were Christian. So Jesus is right to state to them, "You will drink the same cup I drink, and you will be baptized by the same baptism that I will be baptized." And then he added, "My life I came to serve, not to be served." The story in today's gospel of the two brothers jockeying for positions of power in the kingdom, it takes place 5 days before Jesus' crucifixion, 4 days before his betrayal and trial, and 1 day before the clearing of the temple, and a few hours before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So the words of Jesus in answering James and John, he's hoping that these seeds will take root, be planted and take root in their hearts, that if they don't get it now, they may not get it at all. As Jesus says, "My kingdom is filled with those who are last instead of first, those who are serving instead of being served." There was a well-dressed European woman who was on safari in Africa. The group she was with stopped briefly at a hospital for lepers. The heat there in the African sun was intense, flies buzzing. And she noticed a nurse who was there bending down in the dirt, tending to the terrible sores of a leper. with disdain the woman turned away and said loudly, "Why, I wouldn't do that for all the money in the world." And the nurse heard her and replied, "Neither would I, not for all the money in the world." You see, there's a different style of leadership that Jesus is asking, and that Jesus' followers serve with in this world. When we say yes to Jesus, as he calls us, "Follow me," when we say yes to Jesus, when he says, "Take up your cross, follow me," when we say yes to Jesus, it's saying no to many things. It's like you and I leaving church today and heading west on Highway 214. Once we decide to head west and take up our journey on 214 heading west, you cannot go north, you cannot go south, you cannot go east. Saying yes to Jesus is an automatic no to many other things. And when it comes to cost, we come to a fork in the road, and who is it that says? Yogi Berra says, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. It was Robert Frost that said, "I came upon a road less traveled, and when I took that road, it made all the difference." Jesus is asking us at the fork of a road to make a decision and follow. Make a decision and take up our cross, the cross that we choose, the cross that fits you, fits me. And it's different for each of us. And take that road less traveled. It comes with a cost, that cost of saying no to many other things because we've said yes to this one thing, following Jesus, to taking up our cross. How do we follow this road less traveled? It's when we Christians see a need and we do what we can to fill that need. In the course of our journey on that road less traveled, we have to admit that we won't have our wants met. You can't have your wants met when Jesus says, "Deny yourself and take up your cross." Put others first, not your own wants. And when we meet their needs, suddenly our whole life takes on a new and different course on that road less traveled. Last night at the Love Inc. dinner and auction, the once-a-year fundraiser that Love Inc. does, we had a chance to hear from a young mother, probably in her mid-20s, a single mother of 9 kids. She talked about her relationship with her first boyfriend and then husband of 7 years, spoke briefly of the unraveling of life, the abuse that she was given, the sense of worthlessness that she thought her life added up to, the rape even, and finally her breaking from that relationship. She was one that was taught, "You make your bed, you lie in it. You pull yourself up by your own bootstraps." But this mother of 9 couldn't do it. Across from the house that she lived in was the Love Inc. sign and a little number printed at the bottom, and so she called the number, admitting that she couldn't do it on her own and needed some help. First, only a listening ear, she was given friendship, a new direction, and for this working mom of 9, a bed to sleep on. 13 years now, free of drugs, alcohol, or other substances, she's now helping her kids on their feet into education, schooling, and beyond. And it's through the ongoing help of the ministries of Love in the Name of Christ, Love Inc., that it's made a difference. Saying yes to following Jesus is never easy. when we say yes to go west on Highway 214, you can't go north, south, or east. You're going that direction. It comes at a cost. We put others' needs first. And along the way, we find a new reason for joy. To hear Kim's story last night, this single mother of nine saying, "I'm on my feet," and making a positive difference each day in my life and my children's lives, we participate in that story and say, yes, that's the cost of us meeting someone else's need. That's what makes a difference and helps us feel like that's the right thing to do. The greatest sacrifice, the only sacrifice that leads to our salvation, is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He gave his life on our behalf. He purchased our salvation, our forgiveness now, and our eternity as well. The greatest sacrifice we have in response to that great sacrifice of Jesus is that we offer him our heart, humble and willing. Your will and your way, not mine. It's easy to stand up for Jesus and carry signs and condemn the sins of others and say, "Naughty you." Easy to do that. But it is at a cost that we stand up for Jesus and serve the least and the last. With joy in our hearts, because we're on an adventure the world will only dream about. We're driven that direction because of the burning love of God at work in our hearts. And there's no telling what will happen next. I wouldn't do it for all the money in the world. I will do it because saying yes is never easy. Of taking that road less traveled, because it makes all the difference in the world for my life or someone else's life. It's not easy to say yes. But let the journey begin. Let the adventure begin as we live for Jesus. Join me in singing "Living for Jesus." Our song in our Songs of the Faith 2149. Let us sing together while we remain seated.